this morning, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we begin a new series of table meditations. Over the next several communion seasons, we're going to meditate on the fruit of the Spirit. This is something that ought to be helpful as we consider ways to walk in the Christian life, and as we prepare to continue to walk by faith and to live by faith. So maybe you can memorize this list. Some of you probably already have this list memorized, but here's a good opportunity to memorize these couple of verses from Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what does this list mean as we think about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness? What does this mean for us as Christians? Well, it is a well-known list, but how can that list aid you in the Christian life? Now, this morning, as we begin to walk into this list and begin to consider what it means that this list is here in the Word of God, I want to back up and to consider what the Apostle Paul says as the foundation of this list. As he comes to this, there is a context. We see that for the Apostle Paul, the fruit of the Spirit is not something that is removed from the context of the book of Galatians and Galatians chapter 5. This is not something where Paul just says, you know, here's a good idea for the Christian life, and he gives these things so that we have something moral to meditate on. The fruit of the Spirit is something that is deep and rich, and it's useful for you as you come to this table and as you live your Christian life. So as we search out this foundation this morning, I want to draw your attention to Galatians 5, verse 16, and just the first part of verse 16. So Galatians 5, 16, that first part. So Galatians 5:16a, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." We can learn so much about these fruits and the Christian life. As we think about the fruit of the Spirit, we can learn so much as we begin to build on this foundation. This is four words in Greek, and we see that this is the foundation for what we call the fruit of the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Now, what can we learn about the Christian life? The first thing that we learn this morning in this foundation, and as we think about the Christian life, is that we see that the Christian life is a life of walking. A life of walking. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word walk is a common expression or a common word used in the ancient world for practice. For practice or one's lifestyle. The ancient world talked about the way that one walked as a way to talk about how you would live out your life. So that is an expression that has come into our language and our culture and our society, and it's something that's very, very ancient. We would talk about the way one walks, and that is a reflection of how one lives his or her life. Now, in the ancient world, people would walk many, many miles in a day. And they would walk as they went to work, and they would walk as they went to gather water, and they would walk as they went to the market. And walking was a part of the daily routine for their life. And as you look at the life of the ancient people, you could say, what summarizes life for these people? And it's walking. So much walking. Maybe in our society, we hear sometimes the statement, what drives you? What drives you? You think, well, where does that come from? And we see that similarly, these ideas of that which takes up large amounts of time is something that can be reflective of how you live your life. So your walk, the Christian life is a life of walking. You may remember from Philosophy 101, reading Plato, and you remember that Plato's style of teaching, or his school of philosophy, was called the peripatetic philosophy. That's philosophy as you walk, because that was the style. Plato would walk, and he would lecture his students as they walked from place to place. And that style of philosophy is philosophy as you walk. And this is what we see here. And this is what we see often throughout the New Testament. We are told that we walk by faith, not by sight. We are told that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We are told that you are to walk according to the example that you have within the apostles. You are told to walk in wisdom. So on and on, the New Testament and the scriptures teach us that the way that we are to walk and the way that we live are connected as being part of the Christian life, or this description of the Christian life is a life of walking. And you might remember also that the Christian church in the book of Acts was sometimes called the way. You may have seen that, the way, or that on which we walk. And we see that about the Christian life. We are to live out the Christian life, and we are to walk in such a way that brings honor to God. Now, why is this? Why do we say that the Christian life is a life of walking? It is because your Christian faith ought to influence your life. How much of it? All of it. The walk is reflective of how you live your life. And that walk, the Christian faith, should affect all of that in your life. We know that the Christian faith ought to change you. Christ ought to change you. And the Christian faith is first and foremost built on historical facts. We have the Word of God, and we have the historicity of the Scriptures, and we have the virgin birth, and we have the resurrection that saves sinners. And we believe that in all of these facts that we hold on to. These are not facts that are just something interesting for Jeopardy night. These facts of the Christian life on which we build our lives are foundational. These are things that ought to lead to walking in your life. It ought to affect all of who you are and all of what you believe and you do. You see, the Christian life is not just a life of theological discourse. And there are times when it seems that way. There are times when we discuss the Word of God and we discuss theology and we have to work through and wrestle through things that we believe. But the Christian life is not just wrestling through theological facts. The Christian life is taking these facts on which we build a foundation and we walk. We walk. These affect who we are and what we believe and how we live out our lives. You hold on to those facts, and from that place of salvation in Christ, you begin to live out the Christian life. You begin to walk, as the scriptures say. You must walk. Your faith ought to influence all of how you live your life as a Christian. But we see something else as well. The Christian life is not just a life where we walk. It is also a life of submitting. The Christian life is a life of submitting. The Apostle Paul says we are to walk by the Spirit. The word by tells you that the walking of the Christian life is a walking that is directed by somebody else. It's not as though we are redeemed in Christ and then we're just set free into the world to just go and find our own way. We are redeemed in Christ. We have this foundation and we're called to walk. And you say, well, how am I supposed to walk, Pastor Nathan? What is the way on which I walk? And the Apostle Paul would tell you that you are to walk by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit and His work is to guide and govern you in the Christian life. I would assume that most of you have used GPS as you've driven your car. And maybe as you're driving and you have your GPS set and there's a certain way that you want to go that the GPS is not recommending, but you say, you know, I like to go this way because maybe you go past some great building that you want to see or some other way. And you change course, and what's your GPS do? It's constantly trying to reroute you and to bring you back and to get you on course, the course that the GPS, whoever runs GPS, has set for you. This is driving by GPS. You set it and you go. Now, in the Christian life, as you walk, the Spirit of God is your guide. You walk by the Spirit. Now, that may sound mystical. It may sound magical. It may sound like something that you don't quite understand. You say, well, Pastor Nathan, this is a church that works a certain way, and that doesn't sound like the way we talk. Well, it's the way the scriptures talk. So we need to say that we do walk by the Spirit, but what does that mean? How is that done? It's not something where the Spirit just leads through feelings and inclinations. It's not that. In the Christian life, you are never put in the dilemma of feeling something that is against God's will and saying, well, that's what the Spirit is calling me to do. You know, maybe you have even Christian friends that have said, you know, I believe that God is calling me to get a divorce. And you say, well, you know, the divorce would be unlawful according to the scriptures. And they say, well, I just feel that God's calling me to that. That's not the type of walking by the Spirit we're talking about. The type that we are talking about is that we walk by the Spirit through the Word of God. You see, the Spirit of God speaks through the scriptures. The scriptures are the voice of God to you. And as the Spirit speaks to you from the scriptures and gives you application and gives you instruction and gives you conviction, you are able to say that you are walking by the Spirit. And congregation, this is so important to understand. It's something so important to confess, because we are a people of the book. And that book is not something that is to be divided from or separated from the idea of living by the Spirit or walking by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. And the way in which the Spirit guides and governs you in that walking is through the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says elsewhere, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That beginning, all Scripture is breathed out. That word is expired or expirited, breathed out by the Spirit of God. The Scriptures are the breath of God for your life. They are God's words, and they are the Spirit's leading and direction. This is God's primary way of speaking to you. And in that speaking, you are called to submit to the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that directs and the one that guides and governs your life and your decisions and all of this, the way that you live your life. The foundational points of the Christian life is that you ought to be living in such a way in your application that you reflect these fruit of the Spirit that we will be looking at. It is the will of God that you are in step with the Spirit of God, and that you are living in a way that is worthy of the name Christian. And really, this is the beauty of the fruit of the Spirit. This is not just moralism. This isn't something that you just use to shame your children and say that you don't ever live up to this. This isn't something where we're just called to put it on our wall or to paint it in a painting or something that we would get in a Christian bookstore. This is the way that we are called to live our life as Christians. You see, the beauty of this is that by nature, you do not have biblical love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are not personality types. These are not things that are natural to you. You know, you might be somebody that is very kind by nature, and that's fine. That's not me, and it's not all of you, but some of you are really kind by nature. And this isn't just the Scriptures saying, be this by nature. It's saying, be this supernaturally. Let the Spirit of God work these things out in your submission to the revealed will of God and in your submission to the Scriptures, that you may walk according to this. The Lord is calling you to submission. And that, of course, begins when you believe the gospel and acknowledge and understand that Jesus Christ has died for you and you are justified before God. And then that's that legal declaration, justification. And then the walking begins. Then the submitting to the Spirit begins. Maybe you've seen a film where a prisoner is let out of prison after many years. And, you know, there's sort of this iconic scene where giant prison gates open and there's a prisoner there who is freed for the first time in many years. Maybe you have seen Shawshank Redemption, and there's that old character, Brooks Hatlin, who's this elderly prison librarian who had been in prison since 1900, and it's the early 1950s when he gets out of prison, and those doors open, and Brooks goes, and he stands there, and he goes into the world, and he writes back to his friends in prison that he has no idea how to live in the world, that the world between 1900 and 1950, could you imagine the changes that went on? And Brooks saying that he had no idea how to live in the world. This is not the Christian life. It's not as though we're justified and God says, you are free, your sentence is cleared, now go into the world and the big gates open, and we're left with no idea how to live. The Christian life is a life of submission, but it is a life of submission with direction from the Word of God and with hope as the Spirit governs. You are not left alone in this world. So the Christian life, as we think of these foundations, it is a life of walking. It is a life of submitting. And thirdly, this morning, the Christian life is a life of freedom. What's the point of the fruit of the Spirit? Why does God say, do this, walk this way? In this walking by the Spirit, you will find freedom. If you look at the whole context of Galatians 5 and what the Apostle Paul is doing as he gives the fruit of the Spirit, again, we don't want to pull that out of context. We want to look at it within context. And in the context, the Apostle Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So the whole context is a context where we contrast the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. That's the book of Galatians, as they fall back into works and as they're bewitched in a sense and as they're wanting to walk according to rules and regulations rather than walking according to the freedom afforded to them in Jesus Christ. It is a contrast between bondage and freedom. Thomas Manton said, flesh and spirit is the old man and the new. And so by the Spirit is meant the renewed part or the new man of grace in the heart. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There is a work of saving grace wrought in our hearts by the Spirit of God, which new nature has its motions and inclinations, which must be obeyed and followed by us. So we see that contrast made. We see life in the Spirit, and we see life in the flesh. And in that contrast, we know that only one is able to bring freedom. There are two natures that are at war. Two natures, the flesh and the spirit, the old man and the new man. And we see that that is something that occurs in all of the Christian life. And how is this war to be fought? It is fought even through fruit. Swords into plowshares, the prophet said, farming fruit as the central way to fight against the flesh and to fight against the sin that still indwells you. But in this fight or battle, which is walking by the Spirit, you see that in the text that freedom is central to what you have in the fruit of the Spirit. This is something that you want. You want this freedom. And what is the purpose of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc.? Galatians 5:13 tells you that it is so you can serve. It is so that you can serve one another and you grow in this fruit and you serve one another and you serve God and you bring glory to God as you grow in this way. You are called to serve God and that fruit flourishes more and more in your life. In fruit bearing, you fulfill the law. You walk in a way that reflects God's intentions for you. Remember Jeremiah talking about the new covenant, and those in the new covenant would walk with the law of God written on their hearts. That's the fruit of the Spirit as it works itself out in your life. And you are called to this freedom in holiness. Galatians 5:16 says you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Instead, you will reflect holiness. A congregation, as we work our way through this section over the next communion seasons, I want this foundation to be clear. The fruit of the Spirit is a foundational help as you live the Christian life. And where does that foundation begin? It begins with this Christ-centeredness, where you walk by the Spirit of God and where you submit to the Spirit of God and you live out this Christian freedom purchased for you by the Spirit of God. May we have fruit. May we bear fruit. May we bring God glory. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to reflect on your word.